Hello everyone, welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your opposition preview. Yes, they're back. It might be because it's Spurs, because it's a big game. We thought we'd treat you. And we have got Ricky from Last Word on Spurs back on the Chelsea Echo once again. Mate, how are we doing? How are we feeling after getting beaten 1-0 at Bournemouth and all that good stuff? We're going to jump straight into it. We're going to be hitting the hard numbers and the hard facts straight away.
Well, let me just say, if it wasn't for you, Lou, I wouldn't be here, literally. I'd be anywhere. But yeah, talking to you about Tottenham in general. Oh, what can I say about Tottenham? What can I say? I mean, it's quite funny. We recorded, actually, I think back now, 4, 5, 6 months ago, and I shared you my doubts on Ange. And I think you were quite surprised, I think, by how negative I was about him. And I was saying to you that I'm really unsure going into the second season if this is going to work. And this was actually before you played us, if you remember, and you were quite concerned about... Yeah. Your form under Poch, if you remember at the time, and I was saying to you, you know, I think you're going to absolutely beat us, and you did on that night. You were, you know, comprehensively beating us. I think we're facing the Chelsea side now that are a different animal. I've got to be honest with you, but I think Chelsea have evolved now into a side that look very dangerous. But on Tottenham, I mean, you can already see I'm trying to deviate away from my own club. I'd rather talk about Chelsea than Tottenham. I mean, we are, at the moment, a complete utter mess from top to bottom. Quite frankly, look, we have got a number of injuries. Let's not get away from that. We've got 8 players out, 4 that you'd say are genuine starters. But at the same time, the level and application desire of those players that are playing right now is simply not good enough. So, yeah, it is deeply, deeply concerning at the moment. I'm going to be honest with you in terms of the form, in terms of the application from the players, in terms of the fact that at the final whistle against Bournemouth, Ange Postecoglou is going over to the away fans and is being, quite frankly, abused by a certain small minority of them. But they're not happy. They're not happy, the fans. You know, we've taken 12 points of the calendar year away from home. We've taken 2 points from the likes of Brighton, Ipswich, Palace, Fulham, Leicester. I mean, yeah, deeply, deeply concerning form at the moment. 1 win in the last 6. I'll be honest with you, we've not recovered from the 5-1 or 4-1 against Chelsea. I don't remember the score unless I know it was ago now. I've tried to blot it out of my head, and Sonny going through to put us 2-0 up and the offside flag goes up. We've never recovered from that moment. You know, we had the honeymoon period of being 8 wins, or just eight wins, 2 draws, 10 unbeaten. Never really recovered from that. Sounds crazy, but we haven't really recovered.
Is it a case of... I get what you're saying, right? Do you not feel that maybe Ange Postecoglou is maybe suffering the same issues that Mourinho and Conte felt?
Absolutely.
I'm not sitting here and saying, by the way, that he's in the same category as them as managers, because he's not. But is there like a deep-rooted problem at Tottenham where, if we're going to be very honest, and it's going to be very brutal here, Daniel Levy just doesn't care about winning?
Yep.
Do you think the issue is there's a physical issue in the DNA?
Yep. I mean, listen, for all what I'm saying about, you know, our form here, that's not me saying that Ange Postecoglou should be sacked. That's just me telling you our current form right now. And the problem with Tottenham is that we'll be in the same cycle in 12 months' time if we decide to part with Ange and we have somebody else in charge. Nothing will ever change. The manager will never get the players they want. They'll never get the calibre of players they want. They'll never get the sufficient money being spent on the players they need. This is a continuous cycle under Daniel Levy's ownership, where it will only take for him to depart and Enoch to move on for Tottenham to really change. And that is, I think, where a lot of fans now feel the club is at. We are existing, but we're not doing anything else apart from existing, Louis, if I'm being honest with you. We are stuck in, I described it as a Mike Ashley hamster wheel, where the only difference is with Mike Ashley, he topped up enough money for them to stay up, whereas Spurs top up enough money for the manager to be in the round the top 6. And look, we're 10th at the moment, so we're even off that metric.
You say that, though, but I mean, one win and you are right back amongst it, because that's how tight it is at this point in time.
You're right about that, but it's also, you have to look at the performances and the results that we've had and the way we're playing. You know, we should have no right to even be thinking about what you're going to be alluding to about being 3 or 6 points off the Champions League places. We are not looking like a club that should be even in Europe the way we're playing at the moment, in terms of the current application, desire and commitment of the players, and in conjunction with the amount of injuries we've got, which is killing the manager at the moment. So look, it isn't all Ange Postecoglou's fault. You know, this is a combination, unfortunately, of many things. You know, board, players, manager, collective, which is the same conversations that we have with the same managers and the same amount of years I've spoke to you on Tottenham as a club. This is who we are, mate.
So I'm trying to think where to even go from here in this conversation, because you're like, I would say, how are you feeling ahead of the game? But it's fairly blatantly obvious that you think this is only going one way, right?
I think, you know, last season when you beat us, was it? I can't remember. It was 4-5-1, wasn't it? And the thing is,
4-1. Yeah.
I mean, Spurs, if you remember that game, this is the crazy thing about that game. Tottenham left the stadium, the players, to a rousing applause from the fans, and we lost the game 4-1. If you remember,
I do. Yeah, I never understood that ever.
I think it was again the way of the fact that, you know, whether you like it or not, we fought to the very, very end, and we gave absolutely everything on the pitch. And unfortunately, this season, in the defeats that we've suffered, they've been so, so poor, where Tottenham have simply not turned up. You can't say there's been games like that where we have fought to the very, very end. Otherwise, fans wouldn't be as disgruntled as what they are right now, and why you have got a very much split fan base where there's some that feel they know Ange is not the whole problem, but they know he's part of the problem in terms of the results and why they want a change. But there are fans like me as well that I just think, you know what, I've seen this so many times before, and at some point, you've just got to give somebody the chance to have a go at, you know, having the rebuild. But I would be lying if I said I don't have deep, deep concerns about where Spurs are right now. I'd also be lying if I said I don't have deep concerns about Ange Postecoglou's brand of football and whether it's sustainable. We had this conversation 6 months ago. You know, again, we're very similar in terms of that conversation where, you know, if you've only got one real genuine way of playing, teams will find you out. Gary O'Neill went and told Sky twice how he beat Tottenham. He then did it again a further week later.
It's illogical to me, that, because that was a question I was going to ask, because the way Ange Postecoglou, look, you talk about that 4-1, right? And everyone was like, wasn't it amazing? Look at how Spurs have played. They've done it their way. You know, that's really amazing. That's credible. So, well, if you're down to 9 men, you don't play like that. It's not intelligent. It's incredibly stupid to think that you're still going to go and play a team with 11 men off the park with possession-based football when you have 2 less players, and to also keep that high line, which is something which, by the way, look, last year I was very annoyed that we didn't make the most of it. You know, I look at this Chelsea side now, teams with high lines, we eat up. So I'm very much in the position of going, okay, well, what's going to happen here? So as Ange Postecoglou, I know we spoke 6 months ago about an adaptation, sort of like, does he actually evolve in terms of how he wants to play football? Has there been an evolution in the way you play? Is, I know you're saying that it's very negative at the moment, but surely there are signs where Spurs are improving in certain aspects, right?
I mean, look, the thing with Tottenham is when they are good, they're great. You know, they have gone and beaten Man United away, comprehensively away from home before the sending off. They've smashed City, you know, in the champions, you know, a side that were, what, I mean, 3, you know, 2.5 seasons unbeaten at their own patch. They destroyed Aston Villa earlier this season. You know, when Spurs win well, when Spurs win, they generally win well. But when they lose, Lou, they lose so, so badly. It's really hard to find a correlation right now in terms of trying to decipher and understand what Spurs are. It's crazy. It is crazy. I just feel at the moment, you know, we are we are so scalded, so, so scalded by the past, where we actually at the moment don't know the way forward. I don't mean that generally. You know that the owner, as you said earlier, the ambition isn't to win. So that already puts you in a negative mindset, because you know that the ambition is not there from the ball to want to win. You've then got the manager who, to be fair to him, he is a winner in terms of wherever he's been, but he's never managed in the Premier League before. And I just think, with no disrespect to him, there are times where he can be quite tactically naive, but there's been times where he has changed games through substitutions. Again, this is not all Ange Postecoglou's fault. It just is, you know what, I'll be honest with you, when you talk about Tottenham, it is so draining. Like, it is draining on the mind. Like, it is genuinely draining with this club, because, like, you know, this is not like 1 or 2 or 3, 4 years. This is like a constant under this management. And the difference was that under Maurizio, which I know I spoke to you glowingly about him the last time I was on here, and I said, you know, give him time, because you saw the end of last season, he was getting results. Look, you made the change. It seems to be working for now under Maresca. But Maurizio had the ability to actually fight above his weight with the players that he had, you know. No other Spurs manager has been able to do that, really. Apart from, maybe you dare say, Harry Redknapp, he got Tottenham into the Champions League. You know, it's almost the impossible job with Tottenham. You know, people say it's the England job, it's very similar, but you're expected to get the most out of the players, but being given really the least amount of tools to do it. you know, which is why Conte Mourinho walked away, because ultimately, I say walked away, Tottenham let them go, because what Spurs realised is they wanted to be a win-now club, but they weren't willing to give the tools to win now. So what was the bloody point? And this is what we're stuck in now with Ange, is that you've got another manager in charge that has the ability to win, but you're not giving him the calibre of players to win now. You know, Spurs signed, with no disrespect, Archie Gray and Lucas Bergvall in the summer. Last night was the first time Archie Gray started in the Premier League for Tottenham. We're the middle of December, well, we're early December. Just something's not quite right there. Something's not quite right there. You know, Dominic Solanke, a huge amount of money, 65 million. I like Dom. I think he's good to our build-up play. Obviously, you remember Dom back in his period at Chelsea. It just feels at the moment that all there is with Tottenham is more questions than answers every single week. And that's really hard, because I know that a lot of people spend a lot of money to go and watch the club home and away, and they're travelling, as you know, as Blues fans will know as well. You know, it's not easy doing those trips home and away, up and down the country. Mm. So, yeah. Difficult to say. This is probably the worst game to come next, given the fact Spurs don't beat Chelsea in the best of times. But given their current form at the moment and the way Chelsea are flying on the back of that win they had recently away from home. Yeah, deeply concerned going into this one. And there's talk of protests, boycott ahead of the game. I mean, God, I just don't know what Tottenham will turn up at the weekend. Just don't know.
It sounds incredibly vicious.
Mm.
And boycotts and protests, and look, I completely understand when it's directed at Enoch and Daniel Levy. Like, you know, we've touched on this straight off the top. You know, these are guys that don't want to win now. They want to balance the books. That's very much the way it looks. They say they want to win, but realistically, that the money's coming through the door and it's more money than last year, that is a big win for them. So, you know, trying to adapt that and understand that. I also completely understand why Spurs fans want to protest. What I don't understand with that is, so you talk about Ange Postecoglou. Obviously, we both agree that he's partially to blame. The squad is part to blame. The ownership is part to blame. What is he doing, Postecoglou, to try and address the situation? Because whenever you see him speak, you saw this guy at the beginning of last season, which everybody loved because he was very honest, and you know the way he addressed situations, he was, you know, he was just talking about how he won trophies, he was quite happy, quite bubbly. Now you see, quite frankly, someone just very angry all of the time, which isn't really winning people over anything. It's pushing people further away. Do you see a manager here who, I mean, there's three routes that's going to go down, I guess, is going to get given the time, and eventually you are going to see Spurs reap rewards, is going to fall into the Conte Mourinho category, or it is just going to completely end in tears?
I mean, the common denominator in the last 20 years is that we always let the manager go, don't we, in the period of pressure. So history doesn't tell you that Spurs ever really back a manager and actually give them the tools to do the job. So on that basis, I don't see any way in which this does have any real longevity to it, especially with the current form, Lou. You know, the fact that if you're winning one in six and you're showing up the kind of problems that we're showing up right now, the players, this is the thing I think you have to bear in mind, which you know as well as a fan, is that when the players are not showing the effort, desire, commitment on the pitch, for me, that's the beginning of the end. And I see the beginning of the end last night, is that when the manager approaches the away fans and they simply won't have it, I think it's very hard once you come to that point already where they're already turning on a manager. You know, I don't know many cases apart from, dare I'd say, maybe Arteta, who's probably the only case that I know where you could go through such a torrid time being the manager and survive it and come out the other side. I think Arteta's the only one I know in recent history that has done that. And I hate to use an Arsenal comparison, but, you know, that's the only one I can think of. I think with Ange, it's not, like I say, all his fault, but, you know, it's very hard to see a way forward at the moment. We've got a lot of injuries, which again, is that down to the intensity of training? You know, we know he likes to play at game intensity. Yeah, just don't know. I mean, Chelsea at the weekend, the thing is Spurs are pretty much going to have to go with a similar 11 they fielded against Bournemouth. They may have Romero back. You know, again, Romero, there's been a feeling around the Spurs community that he's angling a move to Madrid. He's got a year and a bit left on his contract. It's an opportunity for Tottenham to get a sale on him before he enters that final 12 months of his current deal. As I said at the moment, just more questions and answers, and Chelsea have looked really impressive in the last few weeks. So I can't see anything but a Chelsea win going into this weekend, and I'm actually quite concerned it could be quite a heavy win. You know, if Chelsea score early, I dread they could rack up numbers. And, you know, it's a very, like you said, that word, vicious, ferocious Spurs. I wouldn't say vicious fan base, but definitely a lot of anger at the moment being there, because it's not all at one person. It's at a collective of a lot of bad decisions being made over the course of many, many years, and fans giving so much money into the club and they haven't seen the reward for what they've given for that, really.
So do you think that potentially, given all of that, and like you said, when the pressure really mounts, should it be a heavy victory for Chelsea, do you think that this could be the final nail in the coffin for Postecoglou with the January transfer window coming as well?
I don't think it'd be the final nail in his coffin. Look, they've got a big Carabao Cup quarterfinal against Manchester United to come. And they've also got Rangers in the Europa League where, again, those games, if they were to win both respectively, they'd be in a semi-final of a cup competition. They'd be pretty much all but qualified for the next round of Europe. You know, is Daniel Levy willing to forego maybe a league finish for a tilt at a cup? I just don't know. All I know with Daniel Levy is that normally, when that gap increases between the respective team to the top four, that makes him very anxious and normally pulls the trigger, as he's done with many managers in the past. But I can't call it, Lou. I can't call it on this one. You know, he's invested so much into him. I think, you know, Andrew's had around 250, 300 million invested into him. You know, it's a lot of money to then suddenly pull the trigger on the project. But again, with the January window coming up, Spurs do need investment. They do need significant bodies to come in. You know, do they trust Ange Postecoglou with that money? But again, I have to say this, I don't think the signings coming in really are Ange Postecoglou signings, bar Timo Werner. I think they've all been club signings. So I don't know really if that makes a difference in terms of January's window, because I'm not sure how much of an influence, if any, he's having on the players coming in, to be honest with you.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, someone had to take Timo Werner, didn't they? And he's someone I still love from his days at Chelsea. So hopefully he doesn't deliver on the weekend. But, you know, just before you go, because I know you do have to go off pretty soon. In terms of the 11 that Chelsea should expect to face, you mentioned Timo Werner obviously being a Postecoglou signer, so realistically he might play. Solanke, Brennan Johnson obviously being a big one as well. Who should Chelsea expect to see at the weekend? Because the other big news is that you only really have one fit centre-back right now as well, and no goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably line up with Fraser Forster in goal. There'll be a back four of a Doggy, Dragosheen, probably Archie Gray being deployed at centre-half, and Poro out on the right if he doesn't give Jed Spence more minutes, which, again, I know that's Spurs fan base can't understand that. You've got a natural right-back in the squad, but you keep playing other players there. With no disrespect to Archie Gray, we bought him as a central defensive midfielder. I know he played for Leeds at right-back all last season. We've not yet to see the guy in his respective role as to what he wants to play in. So, again, a lot more questions than answers. Obviously, Bentancur's banned domestically, so you'll probably see Basuma, Saar, Maddison, midfield, Kulusevski. And then they have to take a call over whether they can have Solanke and Son play together or one play. But, yeah, very difficult to know what to expect from Tottenham because off the back of that performance from Bournemouth. I mean, all I would say is that Spurs seem to raise their level for the bigger games, as they've shown this season with the likes of United and Man City and Villa. But I can't call it, Lou. I really can't call it. I mean, that performance against Bournemouth was so, so bad. That's why it's very hard for me to sit here and be positive about what I feel is to come with Tottenham. You just don't know. You just don't know at the moment with Tottenham. Really don't know.
All right, mate. Well, listen, I'll let you go and wallow because it sounds like that's what you want to do.
I know, it's so depressing, isn't it? So depressing. I listen to myself. It's depressing. You know, again, it's like, I mean, you're a Chelsea fan. You shouldn't even be having to sympathise with me, but I think even you are.
No, I mean, look. I'm a football fan as well. As much as I love seeing Spurs fall apart, it's very much a case of look, my degree is kicking in now. Where with the football business side of things, I'm kind of going, well, why is this happening? What's the situation? And
I think the only thing I would though say on that, Lou, is I think many, you know, supporters now, even outside of Tottenham, have come to realise that you said it there. You know, you're a Chelsea fan. Why should you even think or know that? Even you're acutely aware Daniel Levy's ambition at the club, unfortunately, is not football. It's not number one anymore. They've got the venue for the concerts, the boxing, the NFL, Formula One, the darts. Just everything about Tottenham, unfortunately, these days is not about on-pitch success. It's about off-pitch success.
That's the way the sport's going though, at the major levels, though, isn't it? I think
it is. But I mean, you say that. But I still think there's clubs out there that still want to have football as their first priority. Unfortunately for Tottenham, it's not their first priority. You know, whatever you think about Chelsea, they spent a huge amount of money on a lot of players. You know, I do feel they want to win. Why have they spent all that money if they don't want to win? You know, look, whatever you think about the manager, Maresca, at the moment, he seems to be getting it right there, doesn't he?
I love him.
Yeah, and like I say, I mean, I love him. Chelsea love an Italian, right? As you all know, being one yourself. It just feels like there's a connection there with him, doesn't it? It feels like there's a connection there with him. Fans have taken to him. One of the comments I loved from his presser was when he first walked into the job, and it was on his first few days where there's about 40 players in the changing room, and they went to him along the lines of, what do you make of this pressure? He went, pressure? He said, I've got 4 kids and a wife at home. That's pressure. This is nothing. And I thought, that was brilliant. Yeah. That was brilliant. You know?
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's great. Like the way he talks, I love. It's the fire and the passion. You can
straight
see
to the point as well, isn't he? Straight to the point. You know where you stand with him. So, yeah, will be an interesting game. Look, for the neutral, it'll be a great game. Tottenham Chelsea games are always great games for the neutral, aren't they? I think for the two fan bases, you know, we're only happy if we're on the right side of the result. But at the moment, the way I'm feeling, you know, it'd be very hard for me to sit here and say there's anything else but a Chelsea win at the moment. And quite comprehensively as well, which obviously breaks me to say that because I dislike Chelsea as much as Arsenal from a footballing perspective. But this is where we are at the moment, you know, again. So, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, if you want to go see Ricky continue to just... Well, obviously, listening to this, he's actually looking like he wants to hit his head into a wall when he talks about Spurs at any point throughout this entire show. So if you want to go see him do that, make sure you head across to The Last Word on Spurs YouTube channel. If you don't catch the show live, obviously, you can listen to it back on all great audio platforms. But Ricky, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you giving your time.
Pleasure, mate. Like I say, you're great at what you do, Lou. If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't be for nobody else, mate. So thank you so much, bud. And I'm sure we're going to touch base in the reverse game of the season. Let's see where we both are then.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for both clubs, the way they go about their journeys this season. Let's hope for a interesting game. Please God, Spurs on the right side of the result. But it'll always be fireworks. Always fireworks this game.
It will be fireworks, but I'm just hoping it won't be Spurs on the right side of the result and it'll be Chelsea. Guys, thank you very much for listening and we'll see you later.